The text that I want to preach upon this evening is one of the clearest, plainest, and simplest verses to be found in the Bible concerning the gospel. In fact, even when it comes to leading little children to Christ, this is a verse that I would use because it makes the way of salvation so unmistakably clear. And my text is the well-known verse here found in Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You'll notice here from the context of this verse that these words were not only spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were principally directed to the church at Laodicea. Now, outwardly speaking, that church was very successful. It was rich. It was respectable. It was self-satisfied. But when the Lord looked at it, and when the Lord scrutinized and examined it, spiritually speaking, it was wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. What was wrong with this church? What was the problem that the Lord Jesus Christ was putting his finger upon? Quite simply, even though it was a church, the Lord Jesus Christ was not in the midst. He was left outside, disowned, and rejected. Now, this truth has a personal application to each and every one of us here. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not residing in your heart this evening, then you're in a similar position to this church at Laodicea. Yes, outwardly you may be very respectable. Outwardly you may be very acceptable to men. You may be well educated, moral, upright, generous, and helpful. You may look upon yourself as a good citizen and a good neighbor. But yet this evening, if you're without Christ, then the Bible says you're without God. And therefore you're without hope, and you're defiled and unclean in the sight of a holy God. And again the Bible makes this clear. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it tells us that we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that's a very all-embracing and a very comprehensive statement concerning every person who's ever breathed upon the very face of this earth. The Bible says that in the sight of God, we're the children of wrath. That word wrath quite simply means indignation, judgment, and anger. And therefore, by nature, our deeds merit God's anger, his indignation, and his judgment. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ is outside the very door of your soul this very night. He's there and he's knocking. He's there and he's asking. He's there and he's pleading, and he's there and he's waiting, and he wants to enter in. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your very soul. He wants to come into your life, and he wants to cleanse away your sin, and he wants to give you a new life, a life in Christ, a life abundant, overflowing, even life eternal. And that is why a text says, behold, the first word, behold. In other words, stop. And look and consider what the Lord is saying here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And so tonight I want to just come and look with you very briefly this evening at this text of Scripture, and to look at this scene that is so clearly depicted here in this passage of the Word of God, of Christ standing outside the door to the human soul. And there are a few things that we learn here from the fact that Christ is knocking upon the very door of your heart this evening. The first thing we learn is that it demonstrates his close proximity. You see, as Christ stands outside the door of your heart tonight, as he stands there knocking, he's very, very near to you this evening. He's so close by. You see, if somebody comes round to visit your home and they're knocking at your door, you know they're close. They're right at the door. They're not standing some distance away. They've got to be so close to your home if they're knocking upon your door. And how close is the Lord to you tonight? If you're in this meeting and you're not saved, and he's that close that he's knocking upon the very door of your heart. And what a most blessed thought. What a most glorious truth. It's so wonderful that I fear many don't appreciate it and aren't aware of its true meaning. Jesus Christ, the very Saviour of mankind, is so near to you this evening that he's knocking upon your heart. He's standing there and he's knocking. There's a verse in the Bible that makes this very clear. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Rome, he said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." So right there in that passage of Scripture, it's also telling us the same truth. That the very word of God is nigh thee tonight. That indeed it's in thy heart. And you'll discover there, if you look at that passage of Scripture, that Paul, led of the Spirit of God, he's actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's actually quoting from the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Let me read that passage to you just to compare it. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11, we read, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Now what Paul is referring to here in Deuteronomy, which was penned by Moses, is the giving of the law of God. God himself, he came down to his ancient people and he gave them to understand what he required of them. Let me ask you tonight, if you're in this meeting and you're outside the family of God, do you know tonight what the Lord requires of you? Because this is exactly what these passages of Scripture are trying to get across. He didn't leave it up to their own opinions. The Lord didn't leave it up to the imagination of man so that they could think up what they thought God would require of them. Oh no, he came down and he wrote it down in tables of stone so that they could see it, so that they could read it, so that they could understand what the Lord required of them. They didn't have to go up to heaven to find out what God required of them. They didn't have to go up to heaven to find out, nor did they have to travel some great distance upon this earth to search out the very will of God for their lives. Instead, God himself came down and he made it very clear and very plain so that they would understand. And this is why Paul says, as he applies the gospel, that God has come to us and he's left nothing to our imagination or opinion, but he comes in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only does he come into the world, but praise God, he comes this very night, even to your soul. He comes this night and he draws near to you and he knocks upon the very door of your heart so that you might understand what God the Creator requires of you, the creature. What does he want? Well, it means here that he's presenting the gospel to you. I quoted from Romans 10, and I finished with the words there of verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." But then the very next verse goes on to say, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord is so close this evening. He's so near to you. He's as near to you as your own heart and your own soul. And the Lord comes and he knocks upon that door of your heart. He presents the good news of the gospel. And then simply and clearly, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will do it right away." You see, those verses there in Romans chapter 10, they're the very verses that I got saved out of. You see, sometimes when people look at ministers with a collar around the neck, they think when they're born into this world, they're wearing a nappy and a collar and they're born ministers. You know, I was an atheist until I was 23 years of age. Never set foot in a church apart from the occasional wedding and funeral. And it wasn't until a man came and showed me that verse when he was witnessing to me. He had to give me a verse that was simple and plain and easy to understand, because I'd never set foot in a Sunday school. I'd never gone to a young people's meeting. I'd never sat in a church for a Sunday service. But when he presented those words to me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And praise God tonight for the word saved. It's a biblical word, and it's a word that we love tonight. And it's a great thing tonight to know that you're saved, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you've opened the very door of your heart and Christ has come in and he abides within. So as we look here at this text of Scripture in Revelation tonight, the first thing we're learning from the fact that Christ is knocking on your heart's door is that it's demonstrating his close proximity. The Lord's so near tonight that he can knock upon your heart. The second thing we learn from the fact that Christ is knocking at your heart's door is that it delivers proof of his love for sinners. Have you ever stopped and thought and asked yourself the question, why? Why is the Lord here tonight? Why is the Lord knocking upon the very heart of my door tonight? Why does he bother with me? Why does he continue to knock and continue to speak and continue to plead with my soul? Why? Well, the answer is tonight, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And tonight, Christ loves sinners. Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, natural man has a very poor opinion of God. When you speak to natural, unsaved man, he's got a completely wrong opinion of God. Natural man looks upon God as his enemy. He looks upon God as someone to avoid, and if possible, someone to escape from. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the natural man doesn't love God. The natural man loves sin, and he loves the very things of the world. In fact, he views God with some sort of suspicion, and he does his best to avoid him. And the unconverted man has a very poor opinion of God. You know, unsaved people, sometimes they get this opinion in their mind that somehow the Lord's setting out to ruin their lives. They think that he's going to take away all the enjoyment in life, all their happiness in life. And that's the way they view God. That's the way they think about him. I can say that's definitely the way when the gospel was presented to me, I thought about God. I had no desire to want to give up my sin. I had no desire to want to change my ways. I knew the things that I enjoyed in life. I didn't want to give them up. And even with having no Christian background, there was still that innate knowledge within me. I knew that if I became a Christian, there were things in the life that would have to go. And that's the way that the unsaved man thinks. In their ignorance, they don't know God. And indeed, in their ignorance, they seek to stay away from all influence of the Lord because they think the Lord's going to take away that which they enjoy. And yet the very opposite is true. And that's the attracting thing about it. That's the good news tonight of the gospel. The very opposite is true. God is knocking upon the door of your heart tonight because he loves you. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's how some people look at the Lord, as some sort of thief who's going to rob them of their joy. They think that God's out to steal that only bit of pleasure that they've got. They think that he's going to come and ruin their lives. But that verse, which was actually spoken by the very lips of Christ himself, goes on to say, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And the very proof of that statement is found in the fact that there's a hand tonight and it's knocking upon the heart's door of sinners. And it's not a hand like mine. It's not a hand like yours. It's a scarred hand tonight that's coming and knocking upon the very door of your heart. The one who stands outside the door of your soul, he's the one, even in his glorified and eternal body, who still bears the very wounds of Calvary. It's an interesting thought. I preached a sermon some time ago, and I simply called it, The Only Thing in Heaven That's Man-Made. You know, and I asked the congregation in the morning, I said, think about it, will there be anything in heaven that's man-made? And some came up to me and said, no, there'll be nothing in heaven that's man-made. But there is. The very scars on the hand, the wounds in the side of Christ, they're still there in heaven in his glorified body this evening. And do you know why he bore those scars? Do you know why he died upon that tree? He did it because, as Romans 5 and verse 8 tells us, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a powerful verse tonight. While we were sinners, Christ didn't die for me when he saw me at my best, when he saw me at my holiest, but he died for me when he saw me at my worst. But a sinner in the very depths of sin, gripped by sin, no love, no interest for God. But God commendeth his love toward me, and that he died upon that cruel cross. He died to redeem us. He died to deliver us from the very consequences of our sins. He died to provide us a home in glory, so that when the day comes when we pass away from this scene of time, it'll be absent from the body, yes, but present with the Lord, which is far better. As the hymn number 213 in our hymn book says, was it for me alone? The Saviour left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky. Was it for me he came to die? And then he gives the glorious answer in the chorus. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. Many years ago, Jerusalem was destroyed. Its walls were broken down. Its gates were burned with fire. The temples and the buildings within it were utterly ruined, and many of the people were killed and others were led away into captivity. And the prophet Jeremiah came upon this very somber scene, and he witnessed the dark and the pitiful ruins. He looked at the derelict buildings and the silent streets, casting their hideous shadows upon the landscapes. It was a scene of woe. It was a scene of destruction and devastation. And then he uttered this lament, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And you know tonight, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you tonight with exactly the same lament as he's knocking upon the heart of your door. As you lift up the eye of faith to Calvary and you see the suffering Saviour, as he's dying upon that cross in agony and woe for your sins, the Lord comes and asks the same question of you that Jeremiah asked. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. That's why the Lord is here tonight in this meeting. That's why the Lord is knocking upon the very door of your heart tonight. Because Christ loves sinners. He loves to save sinners. He wants to come and redeem your precious soul tonight. He wants you to surrender that heart and that life to Him, because He can take your life and He can do much more with your life than you've ever done with it. He can transform that life. He can make you a new creature in Christ. And you may think there's pleasure in the world. I did, but I discovered the very joy that only salvation can give. And tonight, dear friend, I can tell you from my 23 years of experience before I got saved, this world has nothing to offer, because at the end of the day, it's all broken systems. But praise God for the joy that salvation gives. It's a joy that is eternal. It's a joy that will last. It's a joy that will take you through life when nothing in this world will compare to it or indeed be a replacement for it. And I beg of you tonight, as He knocks upon the very door of your heart, to do as our text indeed urges. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The love of Christ can open you to a fellowship and a friendship that will provide not only everything you need in this life, but everything in eternity to come. That's the good news of the gospel. So as we look here at this picture given to us in our text of Christ knocking upon the door of the heart, we've learned that it demonstrates His close proximity, so close that He's knocking. It delivers proof of His love for you, because He came into this world to seek you and to search for you and to save you. And then finally, let me also say that that knocking upon the very door of your heart by the hand of Christ, it displays His patience towards you. Here's Christ, and He doesn't come indeed with one of those big battering rams to knock the door down and force His way in, but He comes tonight and He just knocks upon the door of your heart, and He's waiting patiently for you to open that door. How many times, I wonder, has He knocked upon that door of your heart? How many times have you heard that nail-pierced hand? Again and again God has spoken. Again and again you've heard the gospel preached and proclaimed. It's come so clear to your soul. It's come so plainly to your soul. And Christ has been so near, and yet you've refused Him. You've denied Him. You've tried to put Him off again and again. And yet He comes again this very night, and He's knocking upon the door of your heart. He pleads with you again. Why? Because it's your immortal soul that's at stake tonight. That soul that will exist beyond the grave. That soul that will either be redeemed and lifted up to heaven, one day where it will wait for that new immortal body. Or that soul that will be lost, that will be tormented even in hell forever. It's your soul tonight that the Lord stands there patiently knocking upon your heart for, because it's your soul that matters. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own immortal soul? No matter what age you are tonight, isn't it true you have to admit that God has been patient with you? The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why I ask you tonight, that's why I plead with you, don't try to exhaust the very patience of God Himself. Are you going to allow His long-suffering to run out? Are you going to force Him to eventually leave you alone and depart from you forever? You know, if someone comes knocking on your door, if you don't want to let them in, all you've got to do is ignore them. And they may knock and they may try and they may ring the bell, but eventually you know they'll go away, because they'll get the message that either no one's home or you don't want to let them in. Well, as the door of your heart is resounding with the knocking of that nail-pierced hand of Christ, what sort of a message are you giving to the Lord tonight? The Lord's been patient, but one day if you keep saying no to the Lord, then your situation one day in the future will be reversed. If you keep Him outside the door of your life, despite His knockings, despite His nearness, despite his great love and his patience. If you keep him out of your life, then listen, the day will come when his very holiness demands that he keeps you out of heaven itself. For there shall nothing enter into heaven that is defiled by sin. That's the clear teaching. And that's why, indeed, the Bible tells us to strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, speaking there about the very door of heaven being shut, and ye begin to stand without. Now the picture's reversed. Where Christ has been standing outside of your heart, knocking upon your door, now you're standing outside the very door of heaven, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are, depart from me. Tonight Christ is knocking and the door of heaven is open. But the day will come, if you continue to refuse him, when the very door to heaven and eternal life will be closed and closed to you forever. There will be those inside who've received him, those that have been redeemed by the precious blood, those that have had their sins washed away, but there'll also be those outside the door. And then, because they didn't listen when he knocked, because they didn't open when he knocked, the Lord won't be able to open the very door of heaven to them. And that is why the Bible asks the fearful question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, that's one of the great dangers tonight. You don't have to refuse Christ. All you've got to do is neglect him. Just neglect him. You don't have to say no. You can come out with all the excuses, say you're sitting on the fence, but in reality you're neglecting so great salvation. You know, a whole host of preachers could never ever define that little word so. So great. We know the blessing that we have today in this world being saved. We have a glimpse in Scripture of what awaits us in heaven. But one day when heaven dawns, one day when that eternal morn dawns, and then the full salvation of our soul is revealed to us, then we'll be able to understand that so great salvation. And that is why it's absolutely essential tonight for you to come and to open up that door of your heart and indeed accept Christ as your own and personal Saviour. To repent of your sin. To come tonight and to bow the knee in repentance and faith. Christ standing outside the door of your heart and he's knocking tonight. That's the picture here. It teaches us, it demonstrates to us the close proximity of the Lord. So close that he can touch you tonight. So near. It delivers proof of his love for you, because that hand's a nail-pierced hand, and it displays his patience toward you. But one day even the patience of God will run out. For my spirit shall not always strive with man. And therefore, just listen to the words of the text tonight for the last time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Will you come and sup with Christ tonight for Jesus' sake? Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, Lord, for a very clear passage of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, that in the very mind's eye tonight we can picture and see clearly, Lord, this scene of the very nail-pierced hand knocking upon the door of a heart. And Lord, that heart is here and it's in this meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray for that soul tonight whose heart you're knocking upon. Come tonight, Lord, we pray. Open indeed that heart. Draw them in with the cords of Calvary love. Throw down every excuse. Throw down, Lord, every reason tonight for them to even neglect the salvation of their soul. And oh, that tonight, Lord, they would flee to thee and find thee as thou art, as the very lover and Redeemer of their souls. For we ask it tonight in Jesus' name.